What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. We've got caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory and focus. I like to chew it really all the time. Whenever I'm driving around showing houses or making phone calls before a big appointment. Just really anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost, I'll chew it before a workout sometimes. You know, it's got about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, so it's not going to get you super jittery and wired up. You know, it's just a nice little pick me up and just kind of get you feeling right. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. So they do beard balms, butters, and oils for your beard care. They also have body wash, hair wash, conditioner, all made with natural ingredients, all smell amazing. They also have amazing smelling candles. So check out their website at captainbeardco.com. And when you go to purchase, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
And shout out to our friends at Hand Wraps Rolling Papers. Hand Wraps, they're a local company here to St. Louis. They make extremely high quality rice and hemp rolling papers. So if you're a cannabis user and it's legal in your state, you know, order some Hand Wraps online. If you're here in St. Louis, they're in, I believe, 16 local dispensaries here. So check them out. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man?
Oh, you know, not much. Just, you know, getting ready for, you know, Thanksgiving week. Yeah. So, you know, we got, you know, the world's kind of going to shut down here for a couple days is what it always feels like. Yep. But, you know, in our world, it doesn't really ever stop.
Nope.
So, nope. You know, I know I've got a lot of stuff to do. I got a house hitting the market on Friday and yeah, I've been busy. It's been good though. Can't complain.
Yeah.
Picking up a couple listings and I got a buyer under contract. You and I got a buyer under contract. Been staying very steady into this end of the year. And I was watching, it was actually my real estate coach, his Instagram. He had like a story put out it was a reel that he posted, but I think it was just like him on a coaching call that he just like took a video of. And it was him talking to this guy about how, you know, the guy was kind of taking his foot off the gas toward the end of the year. And I was like, that's such a good, and he was, you know, saying how, you know, you can't do that. This is the time where you can't, you know, this is huge percentage of the year. There's, you know, because you're also setting yourself up for next year.
Because right.
You know, this whole business is so momentum based.
Right.
You know, as your the business is ramping up, you got to kind of ride it and, you know, always be looking for that next opportunity. And he was just talking about how not to take your foot off the gas these around the holidays here, because this is, you know, it's so easy and you want to. Like I feel it all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I know Gina's about to be off work the next couple of days, and I'm just gonna be able to. Kids are going to be here all day. It's going to be harder, and I'm not going to want to get things done because I'm just going to want to hang out with the family and got all the things to do on Thanksgiving and then the Black Friday. And then, you know, it's just like it all rolls in. So, but then, you know, here comes Christmas a couple weeks later, and that's kind of the same thing. But, yeah, I'm just going to try to stay focused and keep rolling through the end of the year. Here.
Sticking to my non-negotiables. As long as I knock them out, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep rolling day after day, you know, and – yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people that do that, but I mean, the things that we do, like what my coaches and I have always talked about, like things that we do 6 months ago is what's coming to fruition now. So it's like, all right, well, if I take this time off now, well, in 6 months, that's going to put me in the summer. Like,
you're hurting.
Yeah, like I don't want to do that. I don't want to take any time off, and I don't want people to think that they can't reach me or get a hold of me when they need me. And so, yeah, I mean, I'll be on call.
On call. Ready for pre-approvals,
ready.
Baby.
Yep.
Give this guy a call.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, man. So. It's yeah, so we'll, and I got buyer's inspections later for our
nice.
Buyer. So I'm going to run over there after this. And yeah, got a just holiday stuff.
Yeah.
So, and we got like, my Thanksgiving's a fucking shit, you know, just a shit show.
What are you
I mean,
guys
I love
doing?
It. I love it. Yeah. You know, I'm, it's like I have the problem of too many places to go. You know, like that's, it's like such a, it's a good problem to have, you know, right. like I've got,
but also very tiring,
but very tiring. Mm-hmm. And with two, you know, kids under three, it's, you know, it just makes it a little bit harder. We're, you know, trying to figure out like nap times and, you know, there probably is not going to be a nap time. So then that's going to affect sleep that night. And yeah, we got a place to be at noon, one and like 3:30 or four. So it's just like,
yeah, those nap schedules are like a calculus.
Dude, it is. It's like, that's the one thing I feel like when we first had Calvin, I was like, Gina was so diligent about the schedules and stuff. And I was like, it's okay. We don't have to be on, you know, but then I noted, I saw the repercussions of going, getting off the schedule. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah. you know, yeah. like if we want to sleep, right. Yeah. If we want to actually be able to like chill tonight and mm-hmm. like, you know, hang out and sleep, you know, watch a show or, and then actually just like hang out and then actually be able to sleep all night. We have to stick to the schedule to get them in bed at the right time. And then they'll sleep through the night if we do that. But man, if you throw it off or if they're, you know, like Halloween, for instance, you know, we let him stay up a couple hours past normally when he would normally go to bed. And then, of course, eating a bunch of candy and all these things. And it was just like a, you know, mm-hmm. like trying to get him to bed was like the fight, you know, mm-hmm. it was like, oh God, this is brutal. But now you totally see just like the keeping them on a schedule just is. I think it's a key.
Oh,
to
for
it,
sure. You know? Both like, Connor and Oliver are still scheduled kid, like to a T. I mean, it changes a little bit, but like every night, 8:30 in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And yeah, I mean, I think like with the schedule, with the parenting switch too, is like they're getting used to that or they are used to that. And they're doing really well. Like, oh yeah, it's Dad's day to pick me up. Or, oh no, it's Mom's day to pick me up. Like they know.
Oh, that's
cool. And so, yeah, it's been, you know, schedules are key, especially for kids. Keep that structure. And we've did it. I mean, it was great. I mean, I was the same way. Like, oh, is it really that important? Like,
yeah, you know, come on, it's fine. Yeah. You know, like we're hanging out. We're having a good time, you know, right. like.
And then you get that first dose of reality when it doesn't happen. And it's like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because
you're right.
Yeah. He only got an hour, you know, only got 30-minute nap instead of, you know, like a 90-minute or 2-hour mm-hmm. nap. Oh, that's a change. That's a game changer, yep. you know, that hour that'll come and bite you in the ass. Oh, for sure.
So,
yeah, man. But anyway, today's our, you know, if you guys have been following along every month, Pat and I read a book together. This month we read the Four Agreements. And I think honestly, Pat, I think we need to get better at like talking about this other than, because I feel like we mentioned it on the book review one, and then we don't say anything about it.
I know, we're not talking. Yeah,
so we need to get better about like posting about it and bringing up like what we're reading. But this month we read The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Really, really good book.
Yeah, it was the first time I read it, and I mean, it was very enlightening.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
simple.
Very simple. Easy read.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I was slacking on my reading this month. And last night I was like, oh shit, we got the book review tomorrow. And I still had about half the book to read, but that's the thing is I just cruised through it.
I think it's only like 140
pages.
Yeah. It's nothing. It's not huge. And it's like smooth. It's like pretty easy.
Very easy. And it, like it's not as you can see, it's not a large book, but the printing is large.
Yeah, that's true. It is.
Yeah, it's a good book. It's like I said, easy to read, and just the information that's in it, just to get you to think in a different way, and really like, hey, like the way we're conditioned and trained from a young age, like it made really like the biggest thing was like it made me go back and think like, how do I want to raise Connor and Oliver based on these? And so yeah, I mean, I think I liked it a lot.
Yeah, all four of the agreements are like such. I mean, they're just so simple.
It's simple.
Things.
So simple, but
they're
hard.
Like, they're hard to do. Yep. And they're, you know, you could kind of like constantly catch yourself slipping on them too.
Yep.
Like, you know, so I guess let's just get into it. So, you know, the first agreement is, so the whole book is based on these four agreements. And, you know, the first agreement is to be impeccable with your word. So meaning that, you know, you have to be careful about the words you choose. You know, words are powerful.
Well, I think before we dive into the agreements, I think like, a little brief about like, so we are run by these agreements that we tell ourselves or rules that are put upon us from when we were little. And so we have all these rules and agreements in our brain, and we call it the minute.
Yeah.
And so basically they're saying like our brain has 1,000 voices talking all at once, and each voice is different and has a different thing that they're telling us. And some of them are good. A lot of them are bad. We're rewarded on, you know, we have punishments and rewards the way we're raised. And so it establishes these thoughts and these agreements in our brain that allow us to be who we are, basically the rules that we live by, and the basically the voices that we're talking about. So what this is telling us is how to change the negative self-talk by coming up with positive agreements. These four are the most simple forms, and if you can do this, you're going to live a free life. So go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first agreement is, you know, basically, and yeah, and this the four agreements are the ones that he recommends, you know, you live by. So the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. This agreement is about being careful with the words you choose. Words are powerful tools. When you speak, you can either build people up or tear them down. Impeccable means to be perfect without flaw. So when we say be impeccable with your word, we're talking about using these words in a way that is honest, kind, and respectful. Yeah, I mean, this is something that I feel like I think about a lot. It's like if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that's kind of how I see this. I mean, at least it's like the biggest thing. That I think I take away from it is, you know, just if I say that I'm going to be somewhere, if I say that I'm going to get this done, if I say that, you know, I can do this, then I'm going to figure out a way to do it, because I'm not a liar.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be seen as someone who can't come through whenever I say I'm going to do something. That's real. That's the part I think is really important.
I agreed. And then, you know, it goes into like gossiping. So like that's a negative form of communication. But like, that's the biggest thing that I've learned, especially going through the divorce and everything like that, was like our communication was shit. And so really learning how to communicate and the words that we use to communicate and how we communicate. And, that's been one of the biggest things that I've been working on for a really long time. You know, I've never been a gossiper, haven't ever really partaken in that. So that was an easy thing to like, that didn't really resonate with me just cause I'm not a gossiper. But just like the way you communicate and speak to others in a positive way, you know, in like not putting people down, you know, cause that's basically you're putting your thoughts and agreements onto them, which then they can take in and turn, and that becomes a negative agreement for them. And so making sure that you're just continuing to spread positivity and be positive in the way you speak. So
yeah, great. I like this one a lot.
When they say that's like the if you can get this down, it helps lead into the other.
Leads into the other ones. Yeah,
I think they all
kind of go together a little bit. So the next one is don't take anything personally. What this agreement helps us understand is that when other people do or say, or what other people do or say is often not about us. It's about them. People act based on their own feelings, thoughts, and experiences. When someone says something hurtful or does something that upsets you, try to remember that it's more about their own struggles than anything that you did wrong.
And that goes for both positive and negative things. Like he was saying, he's like, yeah, someone could just say you're the ugliest person in the world. But that's, don't take it personally. That's on them.
Yeah.
They've got these thoughts in their brains, but then the next person will be like, dude, you're a good looking dude. Well, again, don't take it personal. That's just one person. And, you know, I thought it was great the way he dove into that. And, you know, he just says by not taking things personally, you can maintain peace of mind and avoid being negatively impacted by others. And that's the biggest thing is like, and it's not just words, it's their actions. It's the way they act. Like someone cheats on you or someone does something wrong to you. Like, don't take it personal. Right. That's them. That's on them. That's not on you. You know, and same thing. Like if you say something, like if you're having a conversation, you say something and that person gets offended, that's them getting offended. You didn't, you know, like, I don't know, it's just, yeah. I mean, don't
let shit get to you.
Yeah, right. Just shake that's pretty much what it is.
You know, like if somebody says something, just kind of brush it off and don't even think about it. I know it's easier said than done, but I think in the world of real estate, like this is one thing that I've definitely, I've learned that people to try to take shit personally, like when buyers and sellers are going through negotiations, like, like I feel like buyers, especially in my experience, and it's always, you know, it's always emotional buyers where they're buying the house for their primary residence. I don't see it as often with like investors, where cause it's with investors, it's always like, you know, the numbers make sense. If like, it's more of like a math equation than like a, and like emotional decision. But, you know, when people are buying, like people think that the seller's trying to pull one over on them and not tell them about something that they didn't even know, or, you know, and they're like, and they try to like take things personally, like, oh no, they're trying to screw us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, I don't think that they're trying to screw you. I just genuinely think that they didn't know until these inspections or something, you know? And, so that's just something I this made me think of this. I feel like get really personal, like real estate transactions. Cause it's, I mean, it's a huge, huge financial decision. So, I mean, I get it. Emotions are high. There's a lot of money being thrown around. It's very, very expensive. So, I mean, rightfully so that people get upset. But I think that if people didn't take things so personally, people would get feelings like, hurt so much.
The world's not out to get you.
Yes.
You know,
there's a lot of people out there that believe
I know.
That really think that like everything, you know, they've always got it worse than somebody else, or, you know, you've not had it as hard as them. Like, it's like, come on.
Right.
Like the worst thing that's ever happened to you is the worst thing that's ever happened to you, you know, and whether that worst thing, you know, is, you tripped and broke your arm in third grade, or the worst thing that's ever happened to you that you were in a car accident and you're paralyzed from the neck down. There's variances there, but it's still ultimately the worst thing that's ever happened to you. So in your perspective, you've never had it worse than this. So, you know, everybody's just got different levels of pain tolerance, I guess you could say, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain, you know, people can take things very differently.
Yeah. Same. I mean, in terms of like, especially about our jobs, like, I mean, I know I've seen a lot of people and I was early on in my career, I was part of this, but like, I'd get mad if someone didn't use me. Like I get, or like if I was, you know, trying to partner up with a real estate agent and try and get their business and they just wouldn't refer me business. Like it happens. Like, I'm not every agent's cup of tea, which is fine. Like it is what it is. And I know I'm not every client's, like, I know that I'm not gonna be the best for every client. So, you know, I used to get really upset about that, but again, that's their decision. That's, you know, you just got to respect it, move on. And then, it's just shake that shit and move.
Yeah. Keep moving.
Yep.
Left foot, right foot.
Yep.
Next one. Don't make assumptions. Excuse me. What this means, this agreement is about avoiding making guesses or jumping to conclusions without knowing all the facts. Sometimes our brains like to fill in the gaps with our own ideas, but that can lead to misunderstandings. Yeah, because, I mean, man, how often, I mean, this is something I feel like I
do.
I fall into this one for sure. Or I'll just, it's always, the first thing that comes to my head is like when I'm talking to clients and like I just, if I've got like some bad news to deliver, I'm like, oh man, they're going to fucking, they're going to go off on me and they're going to be pissed and mad, you know, I'm like, oh God. And then you call and have that difficult conversation. And you're like, oh, well, that wasn't that bad.
So bad.
They don't, you know, that went way better than I expected, you know, or whatever it was, you know? So I'm like, oh, you know, that's the first thing that I think comes to my like brain, I guess.
For me, and I see it a lot. And again, this is something that, you know, I realized it pretty quick, but once I realized that it, like, you see it more and more with people within our industry, is assuming that the people that are buying know what they're doing.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
And or assuming that, like somebody getting out a loan knows all the lingo and terminology and ins and outs of getting a loan. They don't. Even if they've already bought a home or bid through this process, it changes. And that was the biggest shift in my business. Was when I stopped assuming and just realized like every person I talk to doesn't know shit about mortgages. And that's when it became more about educating than like trying to be a salesperson. And that was a huge change in my business.
Oh, I believe. Yeah. I do something very similar where I send them a series of videos that like kind of break down like what to expect, you know, these, what inspection, like, so you typically will go under contract, you know, great, we got your pre-approval. Now we're going to go out and look at houses. When we find the house you like, awesome, we'll write an offer. If that offer's accepted, you know, then we go through an inspection period, and then there's an appraisal, and then there's, you know, there's title, and what does title do? You know, like, I made videos, and I need to make new ones, because they're, like, not dated. Like, all this shit still makes sense, but I just feel like it's been 2-3 years since I've made them, so I should probably just redo them.
Updated
yeah. shit. I feel like I'd be better at making the videos. Like, I watch them now and I'm like super like cringy, you know? So I'm like, I feel like I can do that better. So maybe I should redo those. But yeah, that's definitely, I feel like people just with houses for sure. Or other things. And other things that people make assumptions on.
Whether, you know, whether somebody likes them. I think that was the example they used in the book. But yeah, I mean, just assume
because, oh man, he has a look. I haven't heard from him. Yeah. I haven't heard from him in 3 weeks, man. Wonder if, you know, he's mad at me.
Yeah.
You know, I've definitely thought that, but man, I haven't heard from him in a while. Like, hope everything's okay. What did I do that he doesn't want to talk to me or whatever it is. Yeah, I haven't heard from him. I hope, you know, especially with clients too. That's another one too. Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't heard from them forever. Are they talking to another agent? Like, your mind just like goes to these like weird places. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you being such a little needy bitch? Yeah. You know? Yeah,
like, just the seek the clarity.
Yeah.
Ask the question, seek the clarity is so you're not having these assumptions and you can understand it and forward. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, people make assumptions about all sorts of shit. And yeah, I mean, I honestly think this was the hardest one for me. Because in certain, like, there's certain situations, like, oh, call an agent. Oh, they're not calling me back. They're pissed at me about something. No, they're just probably fucking busy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And let's be real. Do you really want to call me and talk to me? Yeah. You know, like, I'm sure you have better shit to do than sit on the phone and chat with me all day.
Sure.
But that's an assumption, you know? So, yeah, no, there's all sorts of things that you can assume and all that. So. But, the fourth agreement.
Yeah.
Always do your best. The fourth agreement emphasizes the importance of always doing your best in every situation. This doesn't mean striving for perfection, but rather doing the best you can under the circumstances. By doing your best, you can avoid self-judgment and regret. Ruiz explains that when you do your best, you will be at peace with yourself regardless of the outcome. Yeah. So I think the example, too, that he was talking about was like, it doesn't matter. He's like, whether you're sick, do your best while you're sick.
Right.
It's not going to be the absolute best, but do your best in that moment. Or if you get more sleep versus less sleep, if you get less sleep, do the best that you can on what you have. And, you know, it sounds so simple.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds so simple, but, you know, putting it into action, that's
the harder part.
I mean, that's the hardest part with anything.
Right.
Is putting anything into action.
Yeah. We can sit here and talk about it all day.
Right.
You actually have to go out and do it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. This one, I like this one a lot. Obviously, it's just a great rule to live by, man. But I mean, there's definitely places where this comes super easy for me to like do my best. But then there's other areas in my life that I don't do my best for sure. And I could do way better there. Like in the world of, you know, real estate and work and fitness and jujitsu, like I feel like that's an area that I don't really struggle to do my best because it's something I just like have such a passion for. You know, is there times where, you know, like I think I could be more attentive, like when Gina's talking or like when we're hanging out and not being on my phone so much or being, you know, spending time with the kids, which I have gotten a lot better at setting my phone to the side, but. You know, there are times where I've got shit going on that I kind of has to be attended to right there. But
there you go. So be impeccable with your words and self-talk to yourself about being aware of that. Yeah,
for sure. And, you know, there's, you know, the areas that I think I do my best. I'm pretty happy with my results there, but it's just there, you know, there's always things that we're going to be able to work on, man. I feel like there's no being perfect with everything. So, you know, but we can always be doing better.
Absolutely. It's just like, I mean, just like every book we've read, talking about being the best version of yourself. But this one is just like, be the best version that you can be for that particular day in that particular moment. So, yeah, it's a good one. So,
yeah, man. It's a good book.
But then, yeah, it breaks into like, how do we get past these agreements? How do we start these new ones? But basically, it all leads to personal freedom. And so ultimately, that's what we all want. Like, even though we live in the United States, doesn't mean we're technically free, because we're governed by rules and laws and things like that. But mentally, you can be free if you can apply these agreements to yourself and reshape the way you think and the way you go about things and the way, and just trying your best, that can put you in a position to live a much better life.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, it's these things. If you follow these, you'll have a happier, peaceful, great life, I think.
Simpler life. Just because of how simple these things are. So, doesn't mean it's easy. Nope. Simple does not mean easy. Nope. But
that is true.
Yeah. So.
All right, bro. Well,
what do we got going? What do we do next?
That's good call.
Yeah.
We're just talking about that.
Yep. Is it Good Inside?
Yeah, it was called Good Inside by Dr. Becky Kennedy. This was a recommendation from our guest Mary Wolf. She was on the podcast a few episodes ago. So
a little different than the books that we've read. This one's about parenting.
Yeah. So, we thought we'd kind of switch it up and do a parenting book and just kind of switch things up. So, we've been doing a lot of the personal development type stuff. Honestly, dude, I'd love to even like get into like some autobiographies and stuff like that down the road. Mm-hmm. Cause I've not read a lot of those. But I feel like that could be something that could make for a cool episode. Yeah, talking about like
certain individuals.
Yeah, like, I don't
that
know.
That have shaped the world. And
yeah, do like a, I don't know. We'll figure that out. I'm not going to start throwing out names. I don't know him. I don't know what he's done. But okay. Anyway, guys, thank you guys for tuning into this episode. Make sure you click that subscribe button if you haven't already. And hit that like button. Comment what you guys thought below. And we will see you next time.